Friday to Hermeister, Chof Zayn, Cheshvan Tovshin Ein Dalet, Reb Menachem Alter.
First, I'd like to thank you for inviting me to speak here. There was a bocher who in the yeshiva was known as one of the best bocherim. A Baal Chesed, a London. But there was one problem. He was going out shidduchim, and every shidduch he turned down. No shidduch was good enough for him. And some rabbeim were meeting together what to do about it, and they decided one of them is going to speak to him. So one of them went over to the bocher. They said to him, "You're a wonderful boy. You're growing. You have koichas, but you have to work on the mid of anivas. You have to work. You've got a problem with gaiva a little." He said, "You really think so?" He said, "Yes." So he said, "Okay." And this bocher worked on himself, and he became a different person. It was very clear he was a different person. He spoke softer, would talk with such respect for people. So one day he goes over to him and he says to him, 2 years ago I offered you a shidduch. You turned it down. Perhaps now you reconsider." He said, "I don't understand you." He said, 2 years ago I turned down the shidduch because the girl wasn't good enough for me. Now I'm an onuf on top of it. You expect me to be interested in the shidduch?" A person can prav avanivis, can act with anivis, but it's not real. A person has to be toichei kabari. Anivis has to be real. I'll give you an example of what it means, real anivis. There was a bocher Baal Tshuva in Eretz Yisrael. He was eating by somebody Friday night. And he's telling them that this week he was at the Kaisel, and there were two American Rosh Yeshivas there. And he was shy, didn't want to go over to them. And an older man came over to him, slapped him to the front, and made sure he got brachas from these two Rosh Yeshivas. So they said to him, "What do you mean two American Rosh Yeshivas? There were three Rosh Yeshivas there." He says, "No, there was only two." So they said, "We'll show you the pictures in the newspaper." They showed him the pictures in the paper. He said, "Yeah, there was Baron Schechter, Rosh Yeshiva Chaim Berlin. He got a bracha from him. A picture of Avraham Chaim Levin, Rosh Yeshiva of Tulsa, Chicago. And then they showed him Rosh Shmuel Kamenetsky, Rosh Yeshiva Philadelphia." He says, "His Rosh Yeshiva?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Here's the person who slapped me to the front." That's a real anivus. I ask people sometimes, what do you think is most choshev of all the middas? And one will say emuna. One will say akkurat atoiv, you look in the chivis alvovis. One says emuna. Chesed, everybody comes up with different ideas. But in Geras Ramban he writes, Midas Hanova is Midas Toiva, Mikol HaMidas Toivis. That is the most choshev of all the Midas. You see, when the Torah praises Moshe Rabbeinu, what does it pick to praise him with? His Onov Mikol Adam. But it's not easy. We all know the story in the Vada, Gabach went to learn the Musadik Yeshiva. And comes Musa Seder the first night, and he looks around him, and he sees everybody is learning Musa, and they're learning, "I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody." And he watches that the next night, and the person off of Eifa, they're crying away over the Svarim. So he understands what you have to do. The next night he takes out and says, he's sitting there, and he cleaves, "I'm a nothing, I'm a garnished," over and over, he's crying away. One of the older Bokrim comes over to him, and he says, "Excuse me, you're here 3 days, and already you think you're a nobody." In other words, it's not so easy to be a nobody. But on the other hand, when a person works on anivus and he gets to a level of anivus, there's an inherent danger. There's a danger you can carry it too far. And that we see by Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech listened to the people. Shmuel says to him, "Halayim kot, not to be an echo. You listen to the people. You have to have a shtolz. You shouldn't have listened at all." Moshe Rabbeinu gave a bracha to Yeshua when the Meraglim left. He didn't give a bracha to Kalev. All the Farshim asked why not. And we see clearly why in the Targum Yonason. Targum Yonason says, Kalchomav Sunusa Yeshua. When he saw the anivus of Yeshua, Moshe understood that Yeshua is a Talmud par excellence. Yeshua is somebody who has such a level of anivus. He'll go with the Meraglim, and the Meraglim will start saying what they want to say. Who am I to argue them? I'm a nothing. There's a million of them as well. Moshe had to give him a special bracha. There was that danger of carrying the anivus too far, doing what Shaul did. There's times we have to have the anivus. Mo'oid, mo'oid, havishval ruach, the Mishnah says. But there's other times, vayigbal livoy b'darkei Hashem. A person has to have that shtolz. There's a story for Mr. Weinstock in Cleveland. He was reading the newspaper, and the obituary column catches his eye. And it says there that there was a person, a Mr. Goldstein, who died in the Cleveland Clinic, and he has no next of kin. He's a Holocaust survivor, and on Sunday, 11 a.m., they're going to cremate him. So he sees a Holocaust survivor. His name's Goldstein. Obviously, he's a Yid. And right away, this Mr. Weinstock calls the Cleveland Clinic. It takes him 2 hours to get to the right department. Finally, he gets through to them. And he tells them what he wants. He wants to make a levaya for him. And they tell him, are you a relative? He says, no. He says, then there's nothing you can do. They hang up the phone on him. He doesn't know what to do. He thinks about it. Then he remembers there was a Yid, Sam Miller, who gave $8 million to the Cleveland Clinic. And again, it takes a long time to get through to this multimillionaire. He finally gets through to him, and he tells him what's happening. He tells him the story. Sam Miller says to him, what do you want from me? I don't work for the Cleveland Clinic. I gave them a donation. I can't tell them what to do. So he says, that's so sad. Imagine it. The ovens of Auschwitz weren't able to create this man, but the ovens of the Cleveland Clinic, the ovens you paid for, they're going to cremate him. And when Sam Miller heard that, it shook him up a little bit. He said, give me an hour and give me your number. I'll call you back. An hour later, Mr. Weinstock gets a call. You can arrange a funeral for him. He called Rabbi Barkin, the head of the Chevra Kaddish in Cleveland, and he arranged a levaya, had a minyan there. Now, when I heard this story, I was thinking to myself, what would have happened if I would have seen that column? I probably would have said, never, so sad, and turn the page. At best, I would have tried calling the Cleveland Clinic, and then I would have given up. But by Yigbal Liboy Bedarke Hashem, a person has to have that stolz, has to push, has to do. We can accomplish. But again, then one accomplishes, there's a danger the other way. That danger of Gaiva. First we ask the Sultan to be removed from before us. We have to be careful the Sultan shouldn't stop us and tell us we're a nothing, we're a nobody. But then afterwards, when we do accomplish, we ask again, Omeyachareinu. That Sultan can come afterwards. You won the first time, but now he wants to get you with the Gaiva. We look at our greatest leaders, our most accomplished people, and you see the nevus they had. Avraham Avinu, Anoichi Ofa Ve'efer, Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'anachnu Bo, David HaMelech, Va'anoichi Telas V'loi Ish. Every one of them, they accomplished, but they still had their anivas. But again, you have the anivas, there's another danger. A person can feel worthless, useless. It can lead to depression. And even if depression isn't a chet, it leads to the greatest chatoim. You look historically in history, the greatest tragedies came about because of false humility. Anivas carried too far. When the Meraglim came, they convinced Klal Yisrael not to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Chofetz Chaim asks, how is it possible? How could the Meraglim convince Klal Yisrael they're not able to go in? They had seen the Nisim Mitzrayim, a Kriyas Yam Suf. How is it shy of such a thing? So Chofetz Chaim explains that when the Meraglim came back, they told them, the cities of Eretz Yisrael are beautiful, but they're fortified. There's giants there. And the Ribbono Shel'Olam, of course he can take us in. The Ribbono Shel'Olam can do anything. But for that you need Schusim. And we made an eagle. With an eagle, we don't deserve it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't take us in because of our Chatoim. And they battered their self-esteem. So much so that Klal Yisrael cried. They don't want to go. Kolev sees what's happening. Vayahas Kolev is on. He silences them. What does he tell them? He says, you know what else Amram did? He split the sea for us. What was he saying? He was saying that Klal Yisrael was standing at the sea. And the Malachim said, Haloloi de Avodah Zarah, Baloloi de Avodah Zarah. And what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu still split the sea. He gave us the mon, by the mon that was slain him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still gave us the mon. Don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us. We'll take care of us. But it didn't help. Klal Yisrael cried B'chi Lechinom, and the rest is history. Came out from that a Tisha B'Av, churban for that day, churban for future generations. So that Bochur Nevardim was correct. You have to be a somebody before you can be a nobody. Everybody has to carry two papers in their pocket. One, Bishvili Nivra Oilom, and in the other pocket, Onoichi Ofa Ve'efer. We have to realize, no matter what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And we see this so clearly. Bilam said over, Loi Hibit Oven B'Yakov, V'Loi Ra Omol B'Yisrael. Rashi says, Afilu Machisim Omamrim, even when Klal Yisrael are angry, when rebelling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Oizos B'Toichon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't leave Klal Yisrael. And the pasuk continues, at that time, Hashem Elokovimoy, Usruas Melech Boy, the friendship of the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us. And we don't see this any place clearer than the Purim story. Klal Yisrael did a terrible chait. They ate at the suit of Achashverosh. And then there was a gzeira on Klal Yisrael. Haman came on the scene, made a gzeira lahashmid, laharig la'abed, eskola yehudim. Klal Yisrael did tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Klal Yisrael. When did the Neis Hatzolah begin? It began when Esther came into the palace. When did that happen? When Vashti died. And when did Vashti die? At the party. Which means, when Klal Yisrael doing Bechet, at that very moment, HaKadosh Baruch was already planning the Neis Hatzolah. HaKadosh Baruch loves us, no matter what. But just like that lack of self-esteem caused the Churban for the Dor HaMidbar, which led to the Churban Ladoiris, further back in history, the greatest tragedy of all time, the Mabul. How did that happen? It's referred to by Yeshaya Novi as Mei Noach. Why is Noach get blamed for the Mabul? Because he didn't daven for his doyer. Why didn't Noach daven for his doyer? So the Kedushas Levi explains that Noach felt, who am I? I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm no better than anybody else. If they get wiped out, I'll get wiped out with them. And if I get saved, they'll also get saved. I'm no better than them. He teaches Rashi, Noach miktani emuna hoya. Noach lacked emuna. Loi hoya mamin ba'atzmoi. He didn't believe in himself. His lack of self-esteem led to the Mabul. He could have davened. He gets blamed for it. So the Churban Abayis was, and also the Churban Abayis we see, was caused by Sinas Chinam. What is Sinas Chinam? Sinas Chinam is Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is somebody puts down other people. Why does somebody do such a thing? To make himself feel better. It's a way to raise one's own self-worth. And Kol Doir Shaloi Nivneh B'Yomov, any generation, the Beis HaMikdash is not built, Kilu Nechrav B'Yomov, it's like it was destroyed. Which means we still have that chet of Lashon Hara. It's still rampant among us. And even though you look what's happening, you see how many people are learning the halachas, the Machsum Lefi. It's admirable, these things. We need to know the halachas. Without it, it's impossible to know what's Lashon Hara. It strengthens one resolve not to speak. Yet, it's still prevalent among us. Why is that? It's so strange when you think about it. There's a story of a lady was in ShopRite in Lakewood. ShopRite is a supermarket. And she's standing in ShopRite, and in front of her was a black lady standing in front of her. And a little boy is crying to her, and he wants a candy bar. So the mother turns to the boy and says to him, Leroy, it's not kosher. So this lady, this mother wife, she's looking. She turns to her, are you Jewish? She says, no. She says, why did you tell him it's not kosher? So I saw the other lady doing it, and it worked. I was walking in Monsey 2 months ago on Shabbos. In Monsey, 90% of the people use the Erev. And there was a five-year-old, and he was eating an ISIS outside his house. And he was with his four-year-old brother. And all of a sudden he says to his brother, "Oi, I'm crazy. We don't use the Erev." He goes running inside. At 5 years old, he understands. He's even machmir not to use the Erev. How come it comes so easy? When it comes to kashrus, when it comes to Shabbos, it's easy. From 4 or 5 years old already. But there's a story of a couple, Bari Tshuva. They didn't have role models. So they went, whenever they went to somebody's house to eat, they would take mental notes to learn how to run their home. And one Friday night, they're eating by somebody, and they're watching everything, how beautiful was taking place there. They sing Zmiras, they say Torah, how the kids help, everybody's nice to each other. They're so spoiled by it. This is a home they want. And then the mother says that we have a special treat this week. This week, because of the guests, we have your favorite dish. But first, I'm going to give the guests. She comes in, she goes over to them, and she shows them what she made special for them. A big tray of lobster. They recoil in horror. Stop right there. Let's rewind a little bit. She doesn't come in with a piece of juicy lobster. She comes in with a piece of juicy Lashon Hara. Who recoils in horror? It's not the same. Which is worse? Where's the mulavim involved? But somehow lobster we recoil in horror. Lashon hara is not the same thing. So what's the difference? Shabbos, kashrus, we're so makpid. Lashon hara, not so much. And I think perhaps pshat is, we're treating the symptoms, not the cause. The cause is the same as 3,300 years ago. When Klal Yisrael cried, they felt they're unworthy. Their lack of self-esteem. That's what caused the day of that Churban. That's what caused the Tisha B'Av. And it's the same today. A person wants to feel better. I want to feel better about myself, so I put others down. This is a drug. It's an illegal drug. It's an unhealthy drug. It makes you feel better, but it's wrong. It reactivates the Chet HaMeraglim. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter began the Musa movement. And there's a story of why he began the Musa movement. He began a Musa movement that changed the way people treat each other. And the catalyst was, there was a story of Yankel. Yankel was a shoemaker. And he was a poor man. He was illiterate. He could barely read, barely daven. And he had a store. And he went through the years having a very hard time with Panosa. One day, a rich uncle of his died who had no children. And Yankel became very wealthy. He now had the wherewithal to start learning. He hired tutors. And he learned to read properly. He learned to daven. He learned Chumash, Mishnayos, Gemara. And Yankel became a big Talmud Chacham. His children went to the best yeshivas. And then, when it became time to marry his children, his son, he had a very choshva son, and the Rav wanted to be mishadach with him. The shidduch worked out, and the whole town rejoiced. They all rejoiced except for one person. All the years, Yankel had a neighbor when he was at work as a shoemaker, the blacksmith. And this blacksmith, he could never take it that Yankel had made it. He couldn't accept Yankel's rise to prominence. They had been friends together, schmoozed at quiet times, and now Yankel was this big man, and he was still a blacksmith. Came the day of the chasna, and Yankel is standing under the chuppah, so proud. A talmid chacham, a gevir, and now also a mechutn with the rav. Everybody comes to wish him mazel tov. And then one man pushes his way through, the blacksmith. He goes over to Yankel, pulls out from under his coat a torn pair of shoes, and says to Yankel, "How much to repair these shoes?" People looked on in horror. Yankel was deflated, turned colors. The ploy had worked. Yankel realized he's nothing but a lowly shoemaker. The next day, Yankel died from a heart attack. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter then, when he heard this story, decided to start the Muslim movement. He made a revolution in Tikkun HaMidos. Reb Notzer Zemworth at Tzadik Yerushalayim, he gave insight to this story. His people misunderstand the story. He says that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter did not begin the Musa movement because of the bad midas of the blacksmith. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter began the Musa movement because of the bad midas of Yankel. That Yankel could care so much about someone else's opinion. Why couldn't he just ignore the blacksmith? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter looked at this low self-esteem as worse than the jealousy, worse than the rish of the blacksmith. And the truth is, if you look at the whole Churban, not just the beginning with the Meraglim, look at the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Bar Kamsa was a similar story. We can certainly empathize, feel sorry. Bar Kamsa went through a lot, being thrown out of the party in front of everybody. But that should be enough to make him go and master in Klal Yisrael. Again, it was his low self-esteem that caused it. And then you look at Kamsa. We blame Kamsa for the Churban HaBayis because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. What did Kamsa do wrong? He doesn't even appear in the story. So they say pshat is that Kamsa was a friend. He was a friend of the host. Why didn't he come to the party? He didn't come. There's only one thing that makes sense. He didn't receive his invitation. But it can't be he didn't know about the party. All the gedolim were there. So he knew about it. The whole town talked about the party. But he didn't go. Why not? I didn't get an invitation. In other words, he felt, maybe he doesn't want me, I'm not sure, I don't know if I can go. If he would have felt a little more comfortable, a better self-perception of himself, he would have gone to the party. If he would have gone to the party, then never would have been the confusion with Bar Kamsa. So he blamed Kamsa as well. Again, the same problem, that lack of self-worth. Every person has to know who he is. I have to know who I am. Im ein ani li mili. But one must take that ani. Switch the letters of ani around. And what do you get? You get oyen. You have to turn the ani into oyen. Make the ani, and then you can have that off of efer and become a nothing. The Pasuk says in B'Shalach, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. When is Hashem among us? Im oyen. If a person has the ani, and he makes the ani into an oyen. There's a story about a yid. And this yid, Nebuch, he thought he was Napoleon. He had his triangular hat on. He wore his uniform, blue jacket, white pants. He had medals on. And he go along acting like Napoleon. One day he comes into a psychologist. And the psychologist says to him, how can I help you? So he says, no, I'm not here about myself, Baruch Hashem, I'm fine. I'm here about my wife, Josephine. She has a problem. He says, what's wrong with Josephine? He says, Nebuch, Josephine, she thinks her name is Mrs. Rosenberg. We're very good at analyzing other people, knowing other people's problems. We have to know who we are, know our self-worth. Today, there's over 20 million Americans suffering from depressive disorders. Rav Ram J. Tversky wrote 60 books. Somebody asked him, how are you able to write 60 books? Where do you have the time? He said, I didn't write 60 books. I wrote one book on self-esteem, and I put 60 different covers on it. In other words, he looks at the problem of our day, and he deals with people. He deals with problems. The problem of our day is that lack of self-esteem. It's so important, the balancing of the Vishvili Nivra Olam and the Anoichi of the Efer. We see this balance. When a person gets Teras, he has to bring, when he brings his carbon, 8 Eres Ve'ezoif. He brings from the tall cedar tree, and the Ezoif, the low-lying grass. The 8 Eres represents the Gaiva, the Gaiva that caused the Teras. And the Ezoif represents the humility which again will take away the Teras. So the Chedusharim asks, why do we have to have the 8 Eres? Why do we have to represent the Gaiva? Just have the 8 Eres. That's how Yid has to be. So he says, no, that's a mistake. A person has to have that 8 Eres as well. A person has the Shtolz. Bayigba liboy b'darka Hashem. There's times you have to have it. And like we see with Saint Davening, Tzadik katoma yifrach, ki Eres balvon on yisker. A Tzadik has to be an Eres. There's times when you have to have that Shtolz. There's a story of a Mrs. Girl. She was listening to the radio one day, and she hears an announcement. The President Truman has decided that every Friday night he's going to speak to the nation. And this woman is listening, and she realizes that Yidden are not so frum, and maybe they'll want to listen to the President, and they'll turn on the radio on Shabbos. This is terrible. So right away she sits down, and she writes a beautiful letter to the President. She talks about Kedusha Shabbos, and she explains how Orthodox Jews, how we cannot listen on Shabbos to the radio, and how much, what respect we have for the President, how much we want to hear him. Could he please change his broadcast to another night? 2 weeks later, the press spokesman, he makes an announcement, President Truman decided to change the address from Friday night to Tuesday night. Now, do we know if it was Mrs. Bill's letter? Yes, we do know. The Ribbono Shel Olam sees somebody putting in their koiches, doing what they can, you get Siyata Dishmaya. The Ribbono Shel Olam takes care of the rest. Vayigba liboy b'darkei Hashem. Everyone has to realize, every single person, no matter who they are, you have a tafkid, a role, a mission, a personal mission. Everybody is part of a big puzzle. In a puzzle, every piece is choshev. No piece can replace another piece. Bishvili nivra olam. With my strength, my talents, my capabilities, I will accomplish. But after that, then you realize, Onoichi of Efer, I'm no better than anybody else. Because just like I'm a piece in that puzzle, so is everybody else. We have to realize what choshev we can accomplish. Rabbi Yankel Galinsky often says over, when he was in Siberia, so one night, he sees in the middle of the night, there's a soldier. And he knew this person was a soldier. He gets up and he takes out from under his pillow a bag. And in the bag he has this soldier's cap. He puts it on and he salutes three times, marches up and down, and then he goes back to sleep. And then he sees the next night again and again. And he sees every night he does this in the middle of the night. So one day he goes to the soldier and he says to him, I see every night you get up in the middle and you make a whole performance. Is this part of your religion? He says, no. He says, I'm a soldier in the Ukrainian army. But over here, they treat me like I'm a slave. I want to remind myself, I'm not a slave. I'm somebody. I'm choshev. I'm important. I'm a soldier in the army. And I never want to forget that. Every one of us has to realize, we're all soldiers. All soldiers in Tzivos Hashem. If we have that self-worth, that will prevent us from speaking Lashon Hara. We'll be comfortable with who we are. We'll be mekayim by yigbal liboy, bedarka Hashem. But right away when that happens, you try and do, you try and accomplish. The Yetzer Hara comes to attack and starts saying, who am I? What am I? I'm a garnished, I'm a nobody. Remember that story of Mr. Weinstock. Mr. Weinstock didn't give up. He realized he could accomplish, and then he did. Mrs. Burl, she went and she did it. Every one of us has that koyach. Rav Tzadik writes in Tzidkas HaTzadik, Kishem Shetzorich Odom Lahamin Ba'Hashem Yisparach. As much as you have to believe in Bori Olam, Kach Tzorich Achakach Lahamin Ba'Atzmoy, so too you have to believe in yourself. We have to realize that we have our strength, our talents and capabilities. There's a story with the Baal Shem Tov that a Yid came to him, an Oisha, and he said, I want to have Gilui Eliyahu. And this Oisha was ready for anything. He'd been waiting for years for this. They decided, whatever the Baal Shem Tov tells me, I'm ready to do. And he was ready. If it means huge amount of stocker, he'll give it. It means breaking the ice to go to the mikveh, he's ready to do that. Climbing the Himalayas, fasting 40 days, just tell me, but I want Gilui Eliyahu. So the Baal Shem Tov says to him, you want Giriyo? What you have to do is, you have to go and spend Rosh Hashanah with an almona in the woods. There's an almona in Yisraimim who live there. Go and spend Rosh Hashanah with her. So he was very happy. Sounds easy enough. He says, sure. So he packs his bag, he gets his machzor, he gets his clothing, he gets everything he needs, and he gets his food ready for Rosh Hashanah. And he comes into the woods, he knocks the almona's door, and he says, can I spend Rosh Hashanah with you? She says, sure. And then he moves in for Rosh Hashanah. He gets ready for Yontov, he gets dressed. He davens Maariv. Now he sits down to eat his Suda, and he lays out this lavish Suda, which he prepared for himself. And then he sees Almon and Yisraimim, and he sees their lavish Suda. They have one challah, is their whole Suda, for the whole family to eat. He feels very bad for them. But we all know how Yidden travel, enough food for 3 weeks. So there's enough food for all of them as well. So he divides up his Suda, and they all have a Suda to eat. And he does this for all four Sudas on Rosh Hashanah. Comes Motzei Rosh Hashanah, and he hasn't seen Eliyahu HaNavi. He is so disappointed. What happened? Goes back to the Baal Shem Tov. And he says to the Baal Shem Tov, I didn't have Gilui Eliyahu. The Baal Shem Tov says, you know what? Go back again for Yom Kippur. He says, okay. So he packs his bags for Yom Kippur. But this time he knows where he's going. So he packs extra. He packs food for the Amon and Yisraimim, for Erevim Kippur, for Motzei Yom Kippur. And he knows then it's going to be Sukkos. He packs enough food for Sukkos. He takes with him 1 month's worth of food for the family. And he comes to the house. He's walking down the pathway to the house. And as he's coming down the pathway, he overhears inside a conversation. The child is saying to the mother, Mommy, what's going to be? Yom Kippur is coming. We don't have any food for the Suda Mafsekes. What are we going to eat, Motzei Yom Kippur? How are we going to fast? And the child is crying bitterly. And the mother says to the child, don't worry. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Eliyahu HaNavi for Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send Eliyahu HaNavi for Yom Kippur. And when this person, this Aisha, heard this, he got the message of the Baal Shem Tov. That there's times in life, yes, we want Gil Elyo. You have to be the Elyo. You have to stand up and be counted. Every one of us can be Elyo Anovi. We have to act like Elyo. And when we act like a somebody, then we can be like a nobody. Then we can realize we're nothing. There isn't that danger anymore. Then we'll be zeicha to avoid it and love him. Because what brings Ashras Hashchina? You see, the greatest Ashras Hashchina was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was onov mikol adam. And when we have that anivus, that will bring that Ashras Hashchina for us. Every day in davening we say, Ofoida Anovim. We lost as we began today, the Ashras Hashchina, through our lack of self-esteem, our lack of self-worth, that false anivus. But when we have true humility, we'll be worthy of Ashras Hashchina. And Mitzvah Hashem will be Zoicha to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. We'll be Zoicha to, like Medrash says in Yeshaya, B'shash HaMelech HaMashiach Bo, Oymeid Al Gag Beis HaMikdash. That Mashiach would announce to us, Anovim, Anovim, Higia Zman Golaschem. We'll be zeich to those words, Mitzvah Shem, with the Gula Shlema, Bimhev Yameinu. Amen. Amen.